Right now, joining us, Senator Curtis King from the 14th District. Senator, good to see you again.
Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Always a pleasure. So, and this time we're in your backyard. You didn't come to see us.
Well, I remember the last time I was informed that Finley was in my district, and I distinctly remember you telling me Finley has more guns than people. I love that comment.
Oh, yeah. They do.
And they're very proud of it.
I believe it.
And they're very proud of it.
And rightly so.
So, Senator, the revenue forecast came out yesterday, and not surprisingly, it's down. And it's down not just for the coming year. It's down for the four-year overall, where now we're looking at estimations anywhere between $902 million and $1.2 billion over the next 4 years that we could be short. And, of course, the first thing the governor did was not discuss the spending, not discuss the fact that the between $9 and $12 billion in tax increases that hit between the two budgets, didn't mention anything about that. He immediately pointed the finger at Washington, D.C., and blamed them for our spending issue. As we look at this, and of course, this impacts transportation as well.
Right.
As we look at this continued revenue shortfall, there are some factors in here that aren't being talked about, sir, and I think it's about time to point out the policies that are driving businesses out of the state, that are making it difficult for residents to even maintain the status quo, and those people that have the means to move are moving.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, that's I can tell you I've talked to several individuals in the last 2 weeks that, you know, are they live in the valley. They're big supporters of, you know, our things like the YMCA, the YWCA, you name it. They've taken their money and they've supported it. And they're talking about leaving the state of Washington. And I think they're doing more than talking. They're talking to their accountants. They're talking to their lawyers. They're looking at, well, if I move, where am I going to move? That makes my life easier and better. And the problem is when they move, they take everything with them. And they're not going to be contributing to all of those nonprofits that I just mentioned. That's the part that the other side of the aisle doesn't want to look at. They don't want to consider it. When you tell me that you raise $9 billion in new taxes over 4 years in one fell swoop, that you give cities and counties another $3.6 billion in the ability to raise that money in taxes locally, you're looking at $12.6 billion in new taxes over a four-year period. And who can afford that? And now here you are, and the forecast is we're going to be down another $1 billion. It, you know, where are they going to get it?
You know, Senator, I'm glad you brought up about the charities and the nonprofits and how they're going to suffer, because I don't think, you know, we look a lot at business, we look a lot at our own wallet, but we also, there are the entities that are out there, as you mentioned, the you know, the YMCA, the YWCA right next to us, the Humane Society here in Yakima. So many nonprofits that are out there that rely on the generosity of others not only when they leave, but when it becomes too challenging to put food on your table, pay your mortgage, put gas in your car to get from place to place.
Yep.
Anything extra you have is not going to go to help those groups in their mission. They suffer, and therefore the people they help suffer, or things that they help suffer.
Well, and to your point that you mentioned businesses staying in the state, and I would tell you, but there was a bill passed last session that had to do with alcohol. If you were a grocery store, a restaurant, a distiller, you know, a winery, craft brewery, mm-hmm. you know, they all, 50%, the bill when it first came out, 50% across the board increase in your taxes and your license fees and all of those kinds of things. And the point I tried to make to them when they brought this out was, well, you're looking at restaurants in little places like Quincy and Wapato and Toppenish and Zilla that are, you know, they don't have a large population to draw from, and they're reliant upon being able to sell a glass of wine or a cocktail or something. That's where they make their money. And here we are. We increase the cost of their operation And all they, you know, their response has got to be, well, I got to raise the price of what I'm selling.
Not long after that bill passed, Senator, we had a cider house in the Tri-Cities that announced they were closing because they said point blank, with this passing, we will no longer be able to do business.
Right.
We will no longer be able to be profitable. We are closing.
Well, if we had left it at 50%, would have been bad enough. But the chair of Labor and Commerce got a hold of the bill, and she picked, I don't know how many other, others out of that group. There were 40 different areas, 80 different license fees and taxes that this affected. She picked several of them, and one of them I know went from $350 a year to $2,100 some dollars.
Jeez.
A year. And it's like, how do you expect these people to survive? I mean, you may think it's $1,000 here, $2,000 there. Well, that's, you know, that you're talking about their livelihood. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep their doors open. I truly believe that that bill in itself will drive enough people out of business that the loss of income from those businesses will be more than what they're making off of the increase in taxes.
We're talking with Senator Curtis King from the 14th District here on The Bottom Line. And, of course, when you don't come from a background that
you
has
have to
deal with those
checks,
right. When you're not coming from a background that you have to deal with a budget, you have to deal with paying the bills, you have to deal with paying employees, you don't understand the impact that has. And so as these businesses close or they move, there's no concern, because they're not looking forward and going, if we do this, we're going to lose this. They just think everything's going to stand pat and the money's going to come rolling in.
Well, I can tell you that the senator that sponsored the wealth tax stood on the Senate floor the last day of session, and her comments were, well, there's 4,300 people that would be affected in the state of Washington by this wealth tax. And she said, you know, the opposition is going to say, well, they're just going to leave the state. Well, I'll do my best to quote her, was, well, if that's their attitude, shame on them. Well, you know, that's going to keep them here, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Shame on them for wanting to keep their money and not be a part of a socialist state.
Right. Mm. And this is what you're running into. It's just like they don't look at the outcome of what they're doing. And instead of supporting business and trying to grow more businesses, they're shrinking the number of businesses we have, which therefore decreases the amount of income coming into the state.
We're talking with Senator Curtis King from the 14th District here on The Bottom Line.
You know, you were mentioning about businesses and things like that, and the folks that you talked about that have made a lot of charitable contributions. Well, besides citizens who have the wherewithal, you're talking dozens of companies. I mean, like we mentioned, we're next door to the Humane Society.
Yeah.
They get donations from the public, but they also get larger amounts from charitable businesses that help keep them going to take care of, you know, animals. And there's so much philanthropy going on. The more that you ax these businesses, the less philanthropy, the less support for other causes. It's going to have kind of a ripple effect all the way through. I mean, I think it's going to affect activities that youth have opportunities for. It can affect everything, because when you're pulling money out, who's going to be able to contribute to keep these things alive?
Well, you're exactly right. And it's, you know, and again, it's that accumulative effect. Not only did they raise the liquor taxes that I talked about, but they increased the B&O tax. I mean, it's like, how much can business take? And they just think it's endless. It's kind of like their thirst for more money. What they do to business is, well, we'll just go to business and get it. You can't do that.
Well, and Senator, to top off the fact that we've got, what, $2 billion in legal fees due to all the lawsuits that are against the state, and there's more coming.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention, we also have, what, was it $1.7 that we can't find? Money that can't be accounted for, that the state has earmarked or allocated, that nobody knows where it is because no one can produce a receipt.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the money that's been dumped into King County for problems that have gotten continuously worse, like homelessness and addiction and so on and so forth. And, oh, by the way, Sound Transit's certainly sucking a lot of money out. And the and apparently the Seattle Times is getting paid by the legislature too. So yeah. we know the direction that goes. As we look at all this money that's getting thrown in these directions, money that can't be accounted for, no wonder they're continuing to pull money, raise taxes, because they don't even know where they're spending it.
Right. No, I agree. It's complicated in trying to track down where that money has gone and where it has been spent. I mean, it goes back to even with the Climate Commitment Act and the amount of money that has been committed to the environment. If the money that comes out of the CCA, it has to go to some entity, some group, something that's going to improve the environment. Well, you go back and look at where that money has gone. They can't show any improvement to the environment whatsoever.
No.
But yet the money's there. Instead of going to something that would actually do some good, it's going to all these other things that accomplish nothing.
Well, and 17% has gone to something. 83% has gone to established agencies, government costs, payroll, all kinds of other things.
Mm-hmm.
17% they've actually pushed in a direction to claim it's going to do something. Well, and then we have the timber issue, where you've got, thankfully, the federal government is looking at opening up 2 million acres for timber harvesting, so at least some companies in Washington State and Oregon can make some money,
yeah.
And the state can make some money off those timber sales.
Mm-hmm.
But you take 110,000 acres and you block them off and you say, well, you can't do anything with these. Well, timber sales go to fund education. So,
well, and that's our problem. I mean,
we're cutting all these things out that
right.
we use to fund things, and then they're taking other stuff and they're throwing it away.
Well, and if you go talk to the timber people, they're telling you that the to have a healthy forest, it's got to be harvested. You got to maintain it. You got to harvest it. You got to replenish it. It's a cycle, and you got to keep that cycle going. But they don't want to do that. They just want to say no. We're just going to say you can't touch, you know, to your point, 117,000 acres, whatever it was. And they don't, again, they don't look at the consequences. And that is not a good way to maintain those forests. It just isn't.
You know, honestly, Senator, I think you know exactly what they're doing. And they do it intentionally. And they know the problem they know what's going to happen. And that's where they want to drive the train.
Right.
They want to create a society where everyone's equally poor. That's the goal.
Yeah. Well, they want everybody to have the same income. They want everybody to be, except them.
Yes, except them.
Yeah,
except them. Believe me, it is amazing to me what I've seen over the last 18 years and where we were when I got here in 08 to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind-boggling that we're even thinking about some of the things that these people put forth.
You know, and they're talking about, like, for example, just the other day, Rob and I were talking about health care. Why are you doing it? Well, the eventual goal is to drive the system so it craters so they can use it as an excuse for a single-payer system in Washington.
Yeah.
That's why they pull the money out, and every time you turn around, there's problems with health insurance. They want a single payer system. That's the end
yeah.
goal.
No, they do. Yeah. Well, and it just, I mean, you look at what we did this session, this last session, and the amount of money that they raised taxes, and what do? They cut funds for a group that's taking care of babies that are born to mothers that are on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The babies are on drugs, and this group takes care of them. They have a record of doing a good job. But their response, the Democrats' response by not funding it is, oh, well, but the methods they use aren't the current methods, and so therefore we're not going to fund them. But the methods work, and they're willing to do that. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy work. But they're willing to do it. They're willing to take it on, but they won't fund it.
Senator Curtis King from the 14th. Always appreciate the time, sir.
Yes, it's always mine. It's always good to see you in my country this time.
Yes, sir.
Anyway,
yep. Yes,
great
sir.
To have you here. Thank you.